Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. July 4th is just around the corner. And as you know, this is going to be a bigger celebration than usual because it's our nation's 250th birthday. Well, today, author, mom of nine, and Fox host Rachel Campus-Duffy joins us to talk about all American patriotism at this very special time in our nation's history. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Kurlitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you moms are joining us again this week. Every episode, right, we all get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, let me tell you about today's program. You know, here at Moms for America, we love our country and we love our moms. And you may know our special mom and guest today. She is the co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend, Rachel Campus-Duffy. In addition to co-hosting, she has authored multiple books, and she's a conservative commentator on family values. She's a mom to nine, yes, nine, and she's married to Sean Duffy, the United States Secretary of Transportation. Her most recent book is All American Patriotism. She's going to talk about that and so much more. Well, welcome, Rachel, to the Moms for America podcast. I haven't had you on the show yet. I'm delighted to have you joining us.
Thank you so much, Debbie. It's such a pleasure to be on your podcast, especially in honor of America 250.
How about it? Oh, my gosh. We've got so much to talk about America 250. But I want to just get a little bit. I know all of our audience, if they don't know you, they don't watch you, then, well, they've got to. But I want them to make sure they know a little bit about your family. And, you know, we gave you the Mother of Influence Award.
You did.
In Mar-a-Lago. I don't know if it was three or four years ago.
3 or 4 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And had a chance to honor you as a Mother of Influence. And you do so much in the pro-life and in the culture and speaking and motherhood. So again, we're just super fans of yours and just delighted to have you.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk kids.
Okay.
Come on. How many children did you want? And did you just say, Lord, design it all? And now you have nine. That is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I never knew how many I was going to have. I was Maha before Maha. I was not on birth control. I'm Catholic and I didn't want to put chemicals in my body.
Yeah.
And so, I just, got whatever whatever God sent me. And here we are. Nine kids.
Unbelievable. Do you look back and you're kind of like, wow, you know, this is you probably after like the sixth one, you're probably like, okay, then seven, then eight, then nine. You know, and most women always want to have more. I only had three and I really wish I would have had more. But, you know, you got to that spot and you're just like, wow, this is what God has blessed us with.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, when you talk to people who spend time with people on their deathbed, whether it's cardiologists or hospice workers, they will tell you that the number one regret people have when they are dying is not having had more kids. Yeah. For real. So yeah. I guess I won't have that regret. I don't regret any one of them. I love them all. And wouldn't send one of them back. And so it's been quite an adventure. And we can't imagine our family without any of them. So right. Clearly, this is the way God wanted it to be.
Yeah. So the what's the age gap or what's the the range?
26 to 6. So it's a 20-year period. Most of them are two years apart. A few of them are one is 3 years and there's a 4-year gap in there, but almost all of them are 2 years apart.
Unbelievable. Well, congratulations, Mama, and to your husband too. And I love those big families.
Fun.
That is amazing. I wish I did have more, but you know, and in today's age, you know, we're just not seeing this now. Moms aren't having large families anymore. Although I do think that there is a change in the tide. Would you agree?
It's coming back. There definitely was, there definitely is still a, you know, sort of feminist, girl boss thing going on where they say, you know, don't, you know, focus on your career only, almost exclusively, or at least definitely make that your primary focus. And, you know, the whole feminist notion is the way for women to be empowered is to be more like men. And that meant controlling their fertility
Yeah.
and sort of suppressing this part of who we are as women, which is we are the people who continue the human race, right? And I'm a Catholic. Catholics definitely have never succumbed to that. Our faith, our religion, our tradition has always valued motherhood. That's why
Yeah.
we have the Virgin Mary in such a prominent place. And that is why the Catholic Church has never changed its position ever on birth control, because the church has always believed that fertility and a woman's ability to have children, especially in the context of marriage, is basically our purpose as humans and the most beautiful thing you can do. I mean, you think about Jesus Christ himself, the King of the universe. He could have come into the world, he could have just
Any other
appeared.
way, right?
He chose to be part of a family, and he chose to come through a woman, and in the way that you and I were born. So there must be something very special about being pregnant, about having a child, and about being part of a family that God is trying to send that message to us. If not, he wouldn't have chosen to be in this world the way he did.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautifully said. All right, let's talk about being an author. Is this something you were always, I mean, you're on Fox and Friends, you're a contributor, you do a lot of speaking, you have a very full life, let alone with talking about motherhood. But was being an author something that was on your to-do board?
So, about, I don't know, like 10 years ago, I wrote a children's book that did really well. It was called Paloma Wants to Be Lady Freedom, about a little girl who got lost inside the Capitol of the United States. It's a beautiful book, and it's based on some true stories. I lost one of my children in Disneyland once, Disney World, and it was very traumatizing. So it inspired this whole adventure of a little girl gets lost in the Capitol. And that did really well. And then Fox approached my husband and I a few years ago to do All American Christmas, which was a compilation of chapters, both of my chapter, Sean's chapter, and then a group of other Fox hosts and people that work here at the network to write. Each of us wrote a chapter, and we compiled this book into All American Christmas. And Sean and I wrote the intro and did, the intros for all those. And it was a New York Times bestseller. It really did so well. And so Fox said, "We have another idea for you." And we wanted to do something. We had talked about doing something in celebration of America 250. And the other book had done so well, it made perfect sense to do it in the same format, but with the spirit of 1776 and America 250. And so I went and talked to all the people that I love in this building. I have so many friends. I consider Fox my second family. I've been here a long time and I love them all. And I tried to pick people, not just who I loved, but also who lived in different parts of the country, because I wanted the book to feel very regional, the way our country is, so that you would get a chapter from South Carolina with Ainsley that felt really gracious and Southern bellish. And you get that with Ainsley because that's who she is. And then you read a chapter, from Dana about growing up on a ranch in Wyoming. And then you read a chapter about Texas with Will Cain and another one, because Texas is so big, they got two. They got
They sure
Lawrence Jones as
should.
well, right? As it should be. And then Jesse in the Northeast, and then even like Harris Faulkner, who is a military brat like myself, who grew up all over and has, that sort of memory of being an American. And so every chapter is very personal. Every chapter tells the story of why they're proud to be an American. Some of them are American dream stories. Some of them are stories about a relative who was, served in World War II or in Vietnam War. But all of them are very personal, beautiful stories of why they love America.
And also someone, and I forgot his name, but that was at work for 9/11 that day, right? He was working at
Yes.
night, yeah.
Yes. Actually, there were several of my colleagues who worked during 9/11. I believe you're talking about Steve Ducey. But Steve was, I believe Steve was working with Brian Kilmeade that day as well. So several of these colleagues of mine were here when that happened. And
I didn't think
obviously that
about
was
that, yeah.
very impactful. But I also have someone like Joey Jones who decided to enlist because of 9/11.
Yeah.
So there's also those stories.
Wow, beautiful stories. And your mom's, your family stories in there. Can you tell us about that as well?
Sure. Well, my story is an immigrant story. My
Yeah.
father is the first born here in the United States. His family came from Mexico, and so he's first generation here. But he ended up meeting my mom when he was a military guy stationed in Spain. And my mom was a young Spanish girl living in Madrid at the time, and they got married. And my mother, when he met her, she was a seamstress. And she had like a little, I guess you could say it was a cubicle. And
Wow.
in this cubicle, she really loved, she knew that America was special, even though she'd never been there, never dreamed of being there, didn't know much about it, except, what she learned through Hollywood
Right.
movies and the news. And in her little cubicle, she had a picture of JFK, right? Obviously, as a Catholic, that was meaningful that we had a
Okay.
Catholic American president. She had a picture of Our Lady and Jesus, and then another picture of Martin Luther King, who she obviously admired very, very much. And then she ended up marrying this GI and moving eventually to the United States. And it was her deep
Wow.
desire to become an American. And so when I was in kindergarten, my mother went to night school and she got her GED, and she taught herself English because she knew that,
She had to, right.
the language of opportunity was English, and she wanted her kids to know English, and she taught herself English, and then she went and got her citizenship. She went to night school to get
That amazing.
classes, and she became an American citizen when I was in kindergarten. So that
Wow.
citizenship process is really important.
Yeah.
I think it was very formative for her. She was so proud to be a citizen, and I think it's why so many Americans were so disturbed by what we saw over the
Sure.
last 4 years, where we just opened our borders and people came in here who, couldn't love and appreciate our country because they hadn't been through that process and they had no allegiance
Right.
to our country. They never took that oath.
Right.
And many of them, as it turns out, don't even like our country very
Right.
much and have no respect for it, frankly.
Yeah.
And so that's not all of them, but we should be a country of law and order, of rule of law, which is why people want to live in America in the first place.
That's right.
It's what brings so many. I mean, you think about why people in Latin America want to come to the United States. It's because there's no rule of law in those countries. There's
Sure.
corruption and cronyism, and so we lost our way over those 4 years.
Yeah,
And I'm hoping
sure
that
have.
this book will be a reminder of who we are. We can
Yeah.
recalibrate. We can say, go back to our founding documents, go back to how we started. And we started with a constitution, with laws, with the, separation of powers. And we can go back and look at what made us so great.
Yeah.
And if we go back to the basics, back to the roots, I think that we're going to have a wonderful 250, and we can maybe undo so much of the damage that's been done over the last, 20 years, especially since Barack Obama took office and promised to
Right.
fundamentally change our
Changed the
country.
country, and he sure
You
did.
remember? And he sure did. I mean,
Yeah.
when my mother,
I remember my husband yelling at the TV when he said that. He's like, "Are you kidding me?
well,
Did you hear what this guy just
and
said?"
he did. And if you think about this, Debbie, when my mother became a citizen, or when she was in the process of becoming a citizen, the FBI went to Madrid and interviewed my grandmother and my mother's sisters, all of my aunts, to make sure that my mother wasn't a communist before they gave her the
Wow.
citizenship. We don't do anything like that anymore.
No.
Not at all. In fact, the communists are now in Congress.
They sure
Some
are.
of them are running for office right now, and they're not hiding it either.
Look
The
at that
mayor of the
story.
city that I'm in right now is an out and proud communist. And so we've lost our way, and I
Yeah.
hope that 250 in my book is the beginning of a recalibration and a retelling of a narrative of who we are. We can bring back American pride and put
Yeah.
to rest the national shame that the left tried to impose on us,
Yeah.
frankly.
And honestly, they did a good job
They did.
doing that. They
They
really
did.
rewrote history and they rewrote the message. But thank God for President Trump and just all the other great patriots that are standing up and championing and just
Absolutely.
celebrating America, our history, and our heritage. A couple of things that you're just mentioning are spinning off of my brain here a little bit. In your introduction, talking about just the solidness of America, you mentioned the cost for the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. Can you talk a little bit about that? These are some things that we're just not talking enough about.
Yeah, I mean, we need to return to American history.
Yeah.
History, by the way, Debbie, was told for the last, I would say, 15, 20 years. I remember even Goodwill Hunting had a scene where Howard Zinn's book was featured in it. Howard Zinn is a Marxist who wrote a book. I'm going to try to remember the name of the book. It's something the People's History, I believe it's called. And this was looking at America. It was the retelling. It's actually used as a history book. It's the telling of American history through the eyes of the oppressed, oppressed versus oppressor, the
Right.
eyes of the so-called
Victim.
victims of
Yeah.
American colonization and colonialism. It is an absolute false narrative of
Yeah.
who we are. And this was used at first. It was used in colleges. You'd get that crazy Marxist professor who gave
Right.
you that Howard Zinn book, and then the left very cleverly embedded this curriculum, the book itself, and then just the ideas of the book,
The ideology.
the ideology from K through 12. And so we had this whole generation of kids growing up thinking that, Christopher Columbus was a genocidal racist, that so was George Washington,
Then we
so
saw them
all of
taking
our
down the
founders.
statues.
Exactly. And if you remember, when the statues first started coming down after George Floyd, initially it was just Confederate statues. I don't think we should take down any statues. This is part of our history, the good, the bad, the ugly, right? And so they were taking down these statues, and President Trump said, just watch. We can't let them do this because next will be George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. And boy, was he right. Within months, they were taking down George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And so we've allowed the left to really take over our institutions, our school system. And this is and we're bearing the fruits of it right now. I mean, when Barack Obama said, I'm going to fundamentally change this country, he really did do a lot of damage.
Yeah. Well, you talk in the book about the signers, how much they
Yes,
gave up.
totally.
Five were captured and imprisoned. What are some of the other ones? Wives and children were killed, jailed, mistreated. I mean, they had a lot on the line for the Declaration of
Of
Independence
course,
and
it was an act of treason. I was punishable by death. They lost their homes, their wealth. Many of them were imprisoned. It was awful. They knew and experienced the consequences of standing up against the British monarchy. And they did it anyway. Not one person ever, reneged on that. They signed it and they stood by it and, till the end. And you and I are living the lives we live because those men did that. And their families, I mean, their families suffered, the wives suffered, the children suffered as a result of it. And so we have a lot to be proud of. I mean, it's really hard. If you, other people in other countries read our founding, and they are floored. They're amazed. It's why they all want to come here. Everybody who's a citizen in another country wants to be an American. Every refugee that ends up in another country wishes they were a refugee here, which is why it's so frustrating when you see someone like Ilhan Omar. She lived in an absolutely horrible place called Somalia, that is full of corruption and civil war and death and violence. And she got put in a refugee camp, I believe in Northern Africa. And then she got the golden ticket. She
She
got the
sure
Willy
did.
Wonka golden ticket to come to America. But the problem, Debbie, is she ended up in a public school system that told her that the people who saved her were actually the bad guys. And that's why we have the person we have right now in Congress. And frankly, we're not even sure if she is a naturalized citizen. There's still a lot of questions around her father's naturalization. And if that is not right, and there are people digging into that right now, then her citizenship is null and void. And then she will need to be removed from Congress.
More about all-American patriotism with our special guest, Rachel Campus Duffy, right after this break. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit HerzogFoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at HerzogFoundation.com. All right. Well, welcome back, moms. Before we continue with our interview with Rachel, I do want to remind everyone to please like, subscribe, and share our podcast with the moms that are in your circle. This is how we get our information out. And I know they're absolutely going to love this interview. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for our podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net? I would love to hear from you. And lastly, I want to invite all of our moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. We surely hope that you're a part of our movement. But if this is like the first time you're hearing about us or you're new, please join us. It's Moms like us all across this country uniting together to fight for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. How do you join? Well, it's free. Where do you join? You go to momsforamerica.us and join the movement there. We would love for you to be a part of our community. All right, now back to the show. Living here in America is a privilege. Having our freedom is an honor. And I think that is really what these stories, like the stories in your book, the stories we talk about our founding fathers, the immigrant story. I mean, you even have a part in the book where you say that your mom didn't want you to be bilingual. You wanted you to learn English in the class. Is that something like that too?
I mean, I do speak Spanish fluently, but initially when we were in school in the 70s, remember they were experimenting with all these, you know, bilingual education and all this stuff in the 70s. And the military-based schools were not, you know, exempt from all of this experimentation away from, you know, the way people were classically educated before. And so all of a sudden, my mom, who is an immigrant herself, finds out that my brothers and I are being removed from the classroom and taken to another classroom for bilingual education. And she was furious. And she marched down to the principal's office and said, "Why would you take these kids out? I didn't ask for that." And they said, "Well, based on their last name, we assumed you would want them to learn Spanish." And she said, "No, I want my kids to learn English because that's the language of opportunity. And I don't want them to have an accent." She was so afraid of us having an accent because she has such a thick Spanish accent.
Oh, funny.
And she said, "You know, if you want to talk to someone with an accent, you can call me. But my kids are American citizens." She understood just how amazing that was.
Yeah.
I mean, she couldn't imagine that, you know, growing up, that her kids would be American. And she was so proud of it. And she wanted us to be able to reap all the benefits of that. And so I eventually, you know, we ended up living in Spain because of my father was stationed there. And I learned Spanish, you know, with the neighborhood kids. And I speak Spanish and have a Spanish show on Fox.
Sure you do, right?
But my first language is English, and she wanted to make sure that it was strong and that it would carry me through to all the opportunity that was available in this country.
Oh, I just love these stories. That's why your book is just so interesting. And just to hear a little bit of everyone's life, you kind of dream a little bit with them. You kind of take that little trip with them. Why did you dedicate this book to President Trump?
You know, it's so interesting because I knew they were like, well, you can dedicate it to someone. And I thought really hard about it. You know, I have great parents. I could have dedicated it to my parents easily, right? You know, but I've been thinking a lot about America and her birthday and what I wanted the book to accomplish, which was to turn the page on the woke narrative of shame that has been imposed on this country and especially on our children. And I don't think anyone has done more to turn the page on Marxism, wokeism, and disrespect for our country than President Trump. And so the dedication itself says to the man who taught us how to love, serve, and fight for America. And he certainly has, you know, he's teaching Republicans how to fight Democrats. You know,
Sure
sometimes
is.
they fight real dirty, and he's like, you know what? You can sit, you know, with white gloves here, or you can get in there and into the arena and fight the way they do and win. And I love that about him. You know, a lot of people sort of cringe and wince at his tweets and his. I think there's a
He says it
method.
like he wants to,
He
right?
always says what's on his mind. You know exactly what he's thinking. He is very transparent. And yeah, I think he's willing to get in there and fight and do the dirty job sometimes that needs to be done to get things done. And I think it's a great lesson. I don't think our party will ever be the same. You know, you and I are probably around the same age, and we've always grown up thinking about Ronald Reagan as our sort of
That's
political
right.
father,
You're right.
right? And he was amazing in so many ways. But for this era, boy, we needed a Trump because the Marxists took the mask off and they've been fighting hard, and they've had quite a competitor in Trump, and he's teaching the party to fight, and I'm really proud of that.
I love it too because the Republican Party, we became so passive. We became not engaged. We became just wimpy, and you got to fight for
We
America. You have to
became the
fight for
country
it.
club party of Mitt
Right.
Romney and the Bushes. And you know, that was just beneath them to fight. And they wanted to make peace with them. And that's a lovely thought. I wish we could. But you can't make peace with that ideology because Marxism, communism is antithetical to who we are as Americans. It just is the opposite. It's the opposite of liberty. It's about centralized control and authoritarianism and somebody telling you how to live. And it's also a very
Suppression,
atheistic ideology. It's not based on God. And our Constitution, the most important line in there is the fact that it establishes that our rights come from God. So we don't put our faith in the state or the government. So yeah, I think these are all very important concepts that we need to get back to. And what better year to start thinking about the basics than
America
250?
250. And then, as well as dedicating the book to President Trump, then you also had the foreword written by Erica Kirk. Why did you choose Erica? I mean, I'm sure I know why, and I read a little bit of it, but
Well, she
charming.
wrote a beautiful foreword, but honestly, I chose her because if Charlie Kirk had not been executed, I would have chosen Charlie to do my foreword. And I love Charlie. And Charlie, kind of like Trump, sort of like is this
Same.
embodiment of America, right? They are both so proud of America. They are always trying to pump up America and America's founders and America's history. And so I totally would have asked Charlie to do that. And I know he would have said yes. And so I was really touched that, listen, Erica's had a rough year, obviously,
Oh,
a really
gosh.
tough year. And that
Pray for
she
her.
chose to take time to write this chapter to honor Charlie, to honor our country. And she really honored me in doing it as well. Meant a lot to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, President Trump asked the cabinet to come up with, if you're not busy enough at Fox and all the other things that you're doing, your husband, is the Secretary of Transportation. And President Trump asked the cabinet to come up with ways that they would celebrate the 250th anniversary of our country. And your husband came up with a great idea. And then I think that you and the family have been participating with this. Tell us about that one.
So the president said, told every single secretary in his cabinet, go back to your department and come up with a special way to celebrate
This
America.
is
We're
so
going,
Trump-esque, isn't it?
it's so Trump-esque. And this happened very early. And, I think he'd probably been in a couple weeks, and it was like they got their charge. Go out, go to your department, figure out a way to celebrate America. And so Sean went back and he thought about it, and he thought about transportation. What can I do that's transportation oriented to celebrate America? And he said, you know what? My fondest memories of America are on road trips. And he remembers the road trips he took with his family to the Grand Canyon, to Florida. He even went to Alaska with his mom. And so he just thought, I want to bring back that great American road trip.
I
And
love
he
it.
thought it would have lots of benefits. One, people would get to see America. His motto is to you can't you gotta to love America, you gotta see
Gotta
America.
see it.
And then you could go out and meet her people, which would bring us together and sort of tear down some of the divisions. And then he's also deeply concerned, we both are, and I know you are too, Debbie, with the family and how the family has been separated. And the family,
Nobody's together anymore. Everybody's on their
nobody's
phone.
together, everyone's on their phone, everyone's separated, everyone's too busy. And he just thought, if people could just take the phones, throw them in the glove compartment, and take a road trip, even, 2 hours away from your house, 2 days away from your house, 2 weeks away from your house, whatever you can make work, just getting into the car and driving. And by the way, there's nothing more American than driving and being able to go wherever you want to go. And which is why I don't like all this, this technology in the cars where people can track you, because I just love the idea that you can just go.
You're
There's
free.
nothing more American than that.
Yes,
And
on the
yeah, absolutely. There's so yeah. Actually, one time my son went to visit a national park, and he met this Chinese guy who was just kayaking across a lake that he was near. And they ended up talking and sharing a cigarette. And the Chinese guy said, my son was like, why are you here? What's your story? And he said, you know what I love about America? I love that I can, no one knows where I'm at. I'm in this lake and no one's tracking me. And just think about that. Like, we take
We're
that
so
for
used to
granted
being tracked on every
on our
right.
phones, right?
Right. You say one word, somehow you've got the ad coming up.
Right.
Right. You
Right.
know,
But if you
it's
don't
like,
have that digital thing, I mean, they're not tracking you. We should be very wary of all these digital things that can track us, because that freedom of being wherever with no one knowing is a wonderful thing. So anyway, he thought, get people in a car, get them, going wherever they want to go, going to see a national park, going to see a monument, going to
And
see
this is all
something.
on the website. I've seen it. You can go there and it encourages
It's
you the
awesome.
places to stop.
It's awesome. And so we were like, how are we going to do this with we'll just get an iPhone and we'll do little reels of where we were. And the more we talked about it, the more we thought, you know what? We got to go back to our roots. My husband and I met on a road trip, a reality TV road trip, and we brought in the production company that did it and said, just follow us for a few of these trips, and very short trips are like a day or two. But we put them all together, and we're going to dump it on YouTube and let everyone see it. And hopefully it'll inspire other families to go on a road trip.
All right, how does it work with nine children plus the two of you? What do you have, like just on an RV? How are you
No,
traveling?
we traveled in two cars. We chose not to do the Catholic bus thing. So we just had
Took
two
two
cars.
cars, two vans.
I have kids that drive, so
Okay,
some of them were in one
everybody.
car and we were in another car, and we drove.
What'd you do when you were younger with all the kids?
So by the time my oldest turned 16, I had another friend who had nine kids older. And I said, what car should I get? Should I get one of those big vans? She said, no. You'll see that you're rare, other than church, you're all gonna, go in packs to different places, So we just got a big SUV, an SUV, and another car. and we were fine.
Okay.
And then when we went to church, we went in two cars.
It's so funny. No, yeah, you don't know if you're gonna you move as a pack or you move as
We
a
really,
split pick,
other than
right?
church, we don't normally go as a pack, you know.
Right.
We're always in different combinations.
What are some of your travel advice, or just now that we're talking about family, things that keep your family together? You're talking about church, so obviously, trips, being together, less of the phone. What are some of your words of advice to our moms as they're listening? Because I'm sure it's been a goal of yours to keep your tribe together,
Yeah.
and not
Most
lose all
importantly.
that intimacy of a family because it's so precious, especially when they're little.
I'm a big believer in dinner time. And there's actually a lot of statistics and research around it. Families that eat together, you know, 3 or 4 times a week as a family, they are closer. The kids have higher grades. They are less likely to engage in drugs or premarital sex. The statistics behind eating together as a family is, I mean, it's
Yeah.
astounding. If
Yeah, we
people
talk
knew the
about a
stats,
lot.
yeah, if people knew the stats, they would not allow soccer to get in the way of family dinner time. And so I've been a very countercultural on this. My kids are in some activities. I'm lucky I don't have any super athletic kids who might go to the Olympics. So like there's been no pressure in that department. But I literally try and encourage my kids not to do activities after school because I want them to come home and have dinner. And I
And
don't
wasn't that
like
one
that
of the couple
intrusion.
of things I saw the kids saying to you about Mother's Day, that they loved your home cooked meals and the
Yeah.
kids sitting around the table and dinner time with you. So it was,
Yeah.
we were
They
honoring you with
love that
that.
I love to cook. They love my cooking. They think it's the greatest
You
thing.
need to do a cookbook next.
I've thought about it. I've thought about doing it with Steve Ducey, so I'd have someone to join in on it with me, but to take down the workload of it. But I would love to, and I think it's a couple things. It's very bonding. Kids learn to cook when they see their mom cook and they're helping around, which is a really probably the most important skill set you could leave your family with. You know, is how to cook, how to do that, and then I think like home. My kids associate home with really good things to eat, nice smells in the kitchen, coming from the kitchen. There's a sense of hominess that comes from,
Yeah.
if you, I've walked into homes where no one cooks and it just feels different to me. It
Yeah,
feels
I
very
agree.
sterile. When people cook, there's always stuff to eat. There's always gatherings in the kitchen. There's always lots of stuff around. And I think it makes a home. The heart of the home is the kitchen. And so that's really important to me.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, two last questions. How do you balance when you approach motherhood with career? How do you balance that, and how what are your lines that you draw on the sand, or what's made it work for you to still enjoy working in your career and then have your family be number one?
So first of all, I want to give it a hats off to at-home moms. There's around, you know, especially around Mother's Day and all kinds of things, there's a lot of talk about working moms. And yes, it's hard to be a working mom. But I was an at-home mom for 14 years before I started working for Fox. And for me, that was really actually a good thing. It allowed me to find to really sort of set a foundation for my family that was really solid. It
Yeah.
allowed me to figure out what that center is. And so now that I'm working, I work on the weekends and then occasionally during the week if I'm filling in for people. Tonight I'm going to fill in for Laura Ingraham, so I'm here longer than I you know, all day really, because I came in for Fox and Friends in the morning. But I would say that it gives me a center. So when things get off balance, I know what balance feels like, and I can recalibrate easier and come back
I
to
gotcha.
where we're all sort of back in harmony. It's constantly recalibrating, especially if you're a working mom, and you're constantly having to find that right balance. But I think the message that young people were getting, and it started with really a lot of it with this Sheryl Sandberg woman from Facebook, who I think sent out the wrong message to women. I mean, feminism has been going on for a while, but Sheryl Sandberg was particularly impactful because she was beautiful and she was, the CEO of Facebook when Facebook was all the, the rage. And she would go to commencement ceremonies and different, fancy, gatherings and women's summits. And she would tell young women to put their foot on the gas pedal and don't let go. Literally, that's what she would say. And my message is exactly the opposite. Literally, literally exactly the opposite. I tell young women to start prioritizing their love life very young. We can't lie to women about the prospects for marriage in terms of the quality of men. They're much better when you're younger. Your ability on the market, if you will,
That's right.
is going to be better when you're young. And your energy level to have children is better when you're young. So there's a lot of good reasons. And your fertility. Let's stop lying to women about their fertility. Biology is real. You
They're
will be able to
pushing
have.
everything off so far,
Oh,
and then
and
there's
then
all
they
of
wake
these.
up and now they've got to pay $60,000 for IVF and all that other stuff. So I say prioritize your love life.
I love that.
Because if you find the right spouse, if you have a good, caring, loving, strong man who can support you, then you can do what you need to do. You can pursue your dreams, whether they're being an at-home mom or having a place in the workplace, pursuing your passions. All of that will work itself out if you're surrounded by people who, a spouse and a family who love and support you. It will all be much easier. But if you're trying to piece all this together in your 40s, it gets really hard. And so, first, we have to stop lying, and we need to do that. And the other thing is, as you're building your family and you're getting opportunities, which came my way many times, which, by the way, another important stat, women who have turned down a career opportunity or advancement because of their family, have higher rates of happiness. Who would, the complete opposite of what the culture is telling people, but that's also statistically true. So you, instead of looking at it like Sheryl Sandberg does, like a car and your foot on the gas pedal for your career, I would say look at your life like a train. Because of technology, you can get on and off this train. So I, when I had a baby and I just needed to be home and care for my
Yeah, me
home and my
too.
kids, then I'd just get off that train and take the time you need and tend to the things that last.
That's
Because
right.
at the end of the day, as great as my career at Fox News has been, and as much as I love my boss, who is the most family-friendly woman in the world, Suzanne Scott, I can't thank her enough. I had another boss when I worked at Libre, Daniel Garza, also very family-friendly, allowed me to have these babies
It
and
makes a difference,
work it
yeah.
out. As much as I love my colleagues, the truth is, they're not going to be holding my hand when I'm on my deathbed. It will
Absolutely.
be my kids. It will be my
Amen.
kids and my husband. And if you don't prioritize that, it will be some unknown nurse or worker at a hospital, if you're lucky. And so you really need to think ahead, and it's really hard because when you're young, you don't think you're ever going to get old. You don't think the you think you, you think you'll be fertile forever. You think you'll find Mr. Right in your 30s or 40s. We need to tell the truth to young women. They need to prioritize their love life when they're young.
That's true. Susie Wiles, I interviewed her. I know you've talked with her as well, and
Love
she
her.
said, I took off 11 years, to
The
raise my
world's not going to
girls.
end, right? Like the
And now
world's not going to end.
she's the president, chief of staff. I mean, the world is full of opportunities, and they'll come in
Yeah.
different waves and different times. But like you said, having your kids and developing your family and investing in them is a certain window that you can only do, and jobs and works will all be there. So great advice. Okay, how do we get your book? How do we celebrate 250?
You can go to foxnewsbooks.com. You can order it. But it's good for any year, any day, any birthday, any anniversary, any holiday during the 250th birthday year of America. So I hope people will go out and get it. Just it's a it's by the way, it's a beautiful cover. It's a beautiful coffee table book. You can just peruse through it. They're small, short, really digestible chapters of, all these different Fox News hosts and stars here at the network. And they share personal stories, photographs, all the reasons why they love America. And I think it'll inspire a lot of parents to go, you know what? I need to tell my
Yes.
story to my kids or my
That's
grandkids
right. That's
about why
right.
I love America. And that's why, we were talking about the dinner table. The reason why those stats are so good for families and kids who are around the table, it's because they're talking. We think the culture has more power over our kids than they do. The
Right.
hugest influencers in their lives are their
Are the
parents and their
ones.
grandparents. So tell those stories, share why you love America, give them a sense of pride in their country and in their family's connection to the country. And I think we'll start to finally turn the page on this woke nightmare that we've been living in for the last
Yes.
20 years, and we can start loving America again.
Yes. And this is how we restore patriotism
That's right.
in America. It's in the home.
Absolutely. It's in the
It's in the
home.
home.
It all starts there.
All right, Rachel, I know you're busy. God bless you. Thank you so much, Rachel, for joining
Got
us.
it. Thank you.
Thank you again, Rachel, for your book, as it reminds us we have so much to be thankful for as Americans. What an incredible time in history, America's 250th birthday. Along with books like Rachel's and some of the activities that she talked about, I want to mention that Moms for America on our website, momsforamerica.us, we have a whole 250 section of liberty trips that you can take with your kids this summer. We have apparel, we have books, we have activity books that you can do with the kids, all kinds of crafts and ideas to celebrate America. So please check out our 250 page at momsforamerica.us. And also, I want to let everybody know Moms for America is going to be at the Great American State Fair. Yes, we're going to be in the Faith and Family Pavilion for the 2 weeks of the fair, which starts June 25th, just this upcoming week, through July 10th. So please stop by the Activation Center, they call it Activation Booths, and visit with us. We've got story times, we've got books, we've got giveaways, we've got all kinds of stuff celebrating America's 250th. Again, that's the Great American State Fair. We will be in the Faith and Family Pavilion the entire time of the Great American State Fair in Washington, D.C. I know you'll be able to see that. They're going to stream all that on Freedom 250. You'll be able to see all this on all the social media platforms as well. But if you're there, please stop by because we would love to say hi. Moms, I say this every week, from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress, Moms for America does have it all for you. We are the ultimate support group. So please join the movement. We're here to support you on your journey through motherhood. And as always, moms, let's keep changing our country one home at a time. Happy birthday, America. We so appreciate you for 250 years of freedom. All right, I will see you next week. Oh, and by the way, an incredible guest, it's very exclusive, is going to be joining us next week. So don't miss next week's 250th special podcast. God bless. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.